offensive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
Hi, this is Herb Katz, and welcome to Dial-A-Dork, the Cleveland radio home for nerds, geeks, and dorks. For the next hour, we'll take your calls about your crashed computer, your hung-up software, your level 17 paladin, or whatever geek-worthy topic you have in mind. Call us at 216-578-1300 and let the Dial-A-Dork community assist you. And now, here's your Cleveland dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome to Dial-A-Dork, everyone. My name is Irv. We are sitting in my basement. It's kind of warm, a little sweltery.
It's lovely.
But we do have beer, and we have two forms of Chex Mix, courtesy of Drew Ivan, who's here today. Drew, turn your mic on and speak.
Hello, everyone.
Did he say anything?
He said something.
And we're also joined today by Dr. J, the science gay, who is now Dr. J, the
science daddy.
Science, the big daddy.
Big daddy.
Big daddy. Yeah. Congratulations, Dr. J, you are a father.
Hey, thank you very much.
And how is the lovely wife and child?
It's all groovy tunes.
Is it all groovy tunes?
It is. It's really cool. It's really fucking cool.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic. We're really, really happy for you. How is it? How is it? You know, everyone. Hold on. What is the trouble? What is the problem?
We can't have the dude. Seriously, the wires have become. Oh, I saw a story. I didn't actually see the whole story, but I saw a lead-in on Fox the other night that says five squirrels got their tails tied together somehow. Did anybody see this? Did you see
five
this?
Five squirrels got their tails tied together?
I have no idea. Yeah, dude, I have no idea how this happened, what occurred. All I know is that was what they were talking about.
Okay, I'm through effing around now.
Is that
okay,
right?
Okay, good.
But that's what's happening right here. We have this, you know, this wire situation, man. I don't even know what
to tell you. Know what? Actually, I have to tell you guys that the studio may be moving.
Oh, boy.
In the near future.
Where are we going? Are we getting our own building?
We may be going to the dining room.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Which could be a bonus type situation. I'll need a more powerful laptop.
Really?
Because I'll have to record it right on the laptop.
Okay.
And then send it to the, you know, to the IceCast server. Yeah.
Nice.
Does that sound interesting?
That sounds very cool.
All right, whatever. Anyway.
No, it does. It really does.
Okay, good. I'm thrilled. Anyway, I wanted to ask you, James, if you could just, you know, let us know if the... if being a new dad is as hard as, like, comedians and other bitter people make it out to be, or what?
Well, right now, I mean, there's not a whole lot to do except burp, change diapers, and get back to mom when she's hungry, because I don't have the proper equipment, you know, to feed her.
Oh,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, I like the boobies. We like the boobies. That's where the food is.
Okay. So, I mean, basically, you're just there to do random tasks as needed.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite part of it all? What's your least favorite thing to do, if there is one so far?
When she's hungry, and I have to hold her until Vicky's ready, and she all she does is scream, and I just feel bad because there's nothing I can do.
That does sound kind of crappy.
It is. That part of it kind of sucks.
That sounds kind of crappy.
But, I mean, it's still cool because, you know, you're holding your baby.
How are you holding up? Are you energetic, or are you tired all the time? Are you sore?
I'm okay.
Cranky?
I'm okay. I'm a little gassy, but other than that, I'm okay.
Oh, well, that's good. You and the baby, I presume.
Yeah. Yep.
Have you had any tragic blowouts?
Diaper blowouts, do you mean? Or
yeah,
fights?
No
diaper blowouts yet. We're starting to get to the point where we're doing a good job on our diapers, but we're not killing them yet, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, my friend.
All right, so all's well.
Yeah, I was gonna say my friend told me a story about his boy who projectile pooped. He was getting changed, and all of a sudden just ripped one, and basically shot poo across. I think the distance is 4 feet onto a lampshade at the end of the at the end of the changing table.
And that's disgusting.
He was thrilled. He took a picture of it. It was awesome. So very cool.
I like that. Onto a lampshade makes for a nice. evocative image. I can just see it like splattered there on the thing and kind of like dripping off.
Yep. Well,
like poop on a lampshade.
Exactly. Like poop on a
like
lampshade.
Poop on a lampshade. That's so got to be a
sign.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Thus like, are the days. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
That's really good. Okay. Well, I do have some topics. I know Drew has some thinky things and a question. And why don't we get physical with Dr. J since we haven't seen him in so long?
Sounds good.
Giggity. Yes. Getting physical with Dr. J. Let's get physical. I still haven't like put together like a sound, you know, board.
And
thing.
I've not complained once, have I?
No, but I mean, if it would be great if I could just click a button real quick and we could have had Physical by Olivia Newton-John play for just, you know, a few seconds. That would make it seem like a real bona fide radio program.
That's true. We could fake it.
Yeah, well, okay, anyway, so here, I'll put in the cart. Here it comes. Click. Let's get physical with Dr. J.
Oh, boy.
All right. So what did you do? What did you do, goddammit?
Well, this is a thinky thing of the week, too. We're going to blow through all of our features in the first minute.
Well,
yikes.
You might as well
okay,
start
Okay, well,
somewhere.
Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, this week's thinky thing is thinkythings.org/carafe, C-A-R-A-F-E. It's a homemade thermos.
Yep. A homemade thermos. Now,
I made it from garbage.
Why exactly... would you do that?
I needed a thermos.
Yes, but I think they're commonly available.
Well,
you know.
But this one was made from trash. It's right. Inexpensive.
Well, aren't there thermoses is made from recycled materials?
I don't know. Okay. Yes, mine.
All right, so here's the, as it's called, the Slapdash Thermal Carafe. And what did you want to talk to James about?
Well, if you go to that page and read through the whole build page, there that tells how it's made. And then if you click over to the results, there's a little graph that shows how it compared against a real thermos.
Can I just commend you, by the way, for A, building a carafe out of garbage, B, putting together a build log, and C, taking results and publishing them. On the way. I mean, that is just like incredibly thorough, worthy of Make Magazine.
That's like Pons and Fleischmann level science right there.
Whom?
Yeah, I was going to ask you to help me out a little bit.
Whom?
They were the cold fusion guys.
Oh, I heard Pons, I thought cold cream. Okay.
No, remember That's they fine. Went straight to the media instead of going through the peer review process.
Oh, okay. No.
By the way.
A bit of a flap.
By the way, Drew, I'm looking at your results page.
Yes.
And you performed a very thorough test scenario. You used a thermos, brand thermos, and it looks like a pretty high quality one with metal and, you know, everything.
Cost upwards of $20.
Okay. The Slapdash brand thermal carafe that you built.
Cost upwards of
nothing.
$45.
Time. A 34-ounce plastic bottle wrapped in foil, identical to the one at the core of the Slapdash thermal carafe. So this is the same bottle that's inside there. Not the bottle inside is not just wrapped in foil, is it?
Right. Well, so maybe it bears mentioning how it's constructed.
Well, you should tell us in a second. And frankly, another 34-ounce bottle with no insulation whatsoever.
Right.
So you've got yourself a pretty nice field here. You filled each vessel with 30 ounces of hot water, about 200 degrees Fahrenheit, and measured these plastic bottles didn't melt?
They did not.
Okay. And measured their temperatures every 10 minutes for 3 hours. Yep. But you're married.
Yes. Yes,
so,
I am.
You know, what did you have to do to get that kind of time away from your wife?
Calling sick for work.
Oh, good, good. Very good. Okay, I'm looking at the graph here, if I may. And the temperature is, if you can imagine, in the y-axis. And time is along the x-axis. And I'm guessing this was this Excel or was this some sort of open office?
Yeah, I did it in Excel.
Okay, you did it in Excel.
I did it in Excel.
And right off the bat, they're all pretty much even. But after 5 minutes, you can see a difference, right?
Pretty quick, yeah.
Already the plain and the foiled ones are below, and the thermos and the Slapdash are... In fact, the Slapdash holds its own for about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
With the thermos. And then you can start to see them break apart around 30 minutes. And after 40 minutes, it's a pretty gradual... In fact, it looks like the rate is pretty much, once you get to a certain point, the rate is pretty close between the thermos and the slapdash, as it is between the slapdash and the foiled, as it is between the foiled and the plane. I mean, they all kind of, it almost makes a nice, like, you know, kind of rainbow, if you will.
If only someone could come up with a law of cooling.
Newton. Anyway.
Anyway, by the end of the experiment, after 3 hours, the plane was under 100 degrees, about 100 degrees.
Yeah, it lost 100 degrees. It started at 200.
It did.
And it ended
and
at about 100.
And the foiled one wound up around 130?
I can't recall. I don't have it up on my screen.
But the slapdash hung on around 150, whereas the thermos was about 180 and change.
Right. Right.
So your slapdash didn't do too bad. I mean, it came in a strong second.
Yes. And
of two?
Of four.
Of four.
Yeah. And it takes me about an hour to get to work, so it keeps my coffee warm long enough for that anyway.
It takes you an hour to get to work?
No, it takes about 40 minutes, but by the time I...
It takes you 40 minutes to get to work?
Yeah, it takes
Where
me 40
do you live?
I live in Brecksville, Ohio.
You live in Brecksville?
Yes.
Hey, this is Drew. Drew, this is Irv. Maybe you guys should hang out and do a radio show together. Talk to you each other.
I'm sorry, James. We talked to you the first part of the show.
You know, I have a... No, I'm just saying. You should know. You don't know he lives in Brecksville? How long have you guys been friends?
Okay. I've never been to his house. You.
Anyway.
First time I ever met him.
Yeah. I don't know this guy.
Okay.
All right, so that was a neat little... All right, so tell us, how did you make the Slapdash Carafe?
I started with a Gatorade bottle. 34 ounces, like you said, and I wrapped it in aluminum foil. Then I put it inside of a 2-liter bottle, and I filled the space in between the bottles with insulating foam, the kind that you use around your windows, and you spray it in there. It's kind of a sticky liquid, and then it expands into a foam. In fact, if you get it on your skin or your pants, you're in really big trouble because it sticks to that. And these are the pants I was wearing. So you can see that it...
Oh, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it appears that Drew used his... pants to masturbate.
Let's
into.
Just say he what? Really enjoyed building.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It does. It looks like a stain.
It looks like that stain.
But it's like green or yellow.
Well, when you have like a yellowish, you know, off-white or yellowish substance on a blue surface, like jeans, what color do you think it's gonna look?
Ejaculate.
And then I cover the whole thing with duct tape.
And you jizzed in it.
And then, and he was so happy he masturbated furiously.
all over his jeans.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. So, I'm sorry.
My mom might be listening.
So, wait. What? You put it in foam and then you wrap the whole thing again?
Yeah.
In duct tape?
Yeah.
Why did you do the duct tape?
Well, first of all, it looks cool, but also because in order to get the foam in, I had to cut holes in the 2-liter bottle, so it was like all full of holes, and I wanted to...
Now, why did you choose the foam? Is it supposed to have some kind of insulating power? I mean, other than the fact that it has a lot of air bubbles, would that do the job?
If only we had a science teacher here.
No, the whole point of it is that it's the deal with any insulator is that it just does a shitty job of conducting. That's a great insulator is just a really shitty conductor, and things that don't have real good free electrons. You know, things that are not metals, pretty much any non-metal is by definition a decent insulator. This stuff, I'm betting is, you know, some kind of polymer. It's a plastic. It's an organic compound of some kind.
I'm told it's urethane.
Okay. That would probably qualify under those things. I wouldn't know that much about it because I don't know the chemistry as good as I ought to, but, it basically doesn't transfer the heat very well throughout it. It's like fiberglass, like wrapping it in fiberglass. It's just the energy has to transfer by molecular collision as opposed to having a lot of free electrons that kind of race throughout, like, you know, say putting a hot spoon or putting a spoon. Don't put a hot spoon. Put a spoon into
hot spoon.
Put a spoon into a bowl of hot soup, and eventually the end of the spoon will be hot by that thermal conduction, you know, the electrons kind of running into each other. However, if you were to put a plastic spoon, it would take significantly longer for it to heat up because the electrons aren't moving around and transferring that energy for you. It has to be as the molecules start to shake faster because they get hotter. They run into other nearby molecules.
I guess my question would be is if you put the soup into Drew's Slapdash Carafe and then put the plastic spoon in it, would it stay warm enough, long enough to heat the end of the spoon?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Sure. I agree. But I don't know why that's your question, because that's the worst fucking question I ever heard.
So a real thermos has a vacuum between the layers.
Right, because a vacuum is an excellent insulator.
Hardly any electrons in there at all.
Absolutely.
So why didn't you make a vacuum?
Too dumb.
No, to be honest, I don't think the plastic would hold up to it. I would bet.
Certainly not.
I would bet that the plastic would probably collapse under the exterior pressure of the air. Herb's making a face at me that you can't see. Imagine the snottiest face you can imagine.
All right, how about this? Why didn't you take the 2-liter and put it inside of a 3-liter and then fill that motherfucker with foam?
You want me to drink 2 liters of coffee in the morning?
Jesus Christ.
Why don't you fill that motherfucker with foam, and then you could put the Gatorade bottle inside the 2-liter, and then you could have made the vacuum, because the two bottles stuck together with foam could have held in the vacuum.
I see.
Structurally.
That's smart.
Well, what do you think? What do you think about that? Are you gonna chomp on checks?
I wasn't listening to you at all. No, I heard you. I think it might. I think that might be interesting, but I wouldn't try to create your own vacuum. Bad things happen when you try to do that.
What could possibly go wrong?
Now, let me ask you a question. Are there any household implements, tools, things I could use to create a vacuum?
A vacuum?
or like a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
I guess that would be good.
It'll suck the air out.
Wow, I thought my last question was a dumb fucking question. No, that was a pretty dumb question.
That was the dumbest one, yep. No.
No, you go ahead.
All right, I'll go ahead. So anyway, the vacuum basically will just suck the air out. Like, you ever seen those space savers?
Oh, yeah.
That you can, not the seal-a-meal kind, but, like, you put clothes into it, and you suck all the air out. Well, when we were moving back from Vegas, that's what we did with all our clothes. We just took a vacuum cleaner, though, and used garbage bags, laid all the clothes down, filled up the garbage bag, and then sucked all the air down, and it compressed it. It makes a pretty decent vacuum. It sucks enough air out if you have a powerful enough vacuum, which I do.
Well, I mean, it all kind
12
of...
12 amps.
But doesn't it
badass
kind of,
motherfucker.
12 amps.
That's a son of a bitch right there. I'll tell you what. That'll blow a fuse if you're not
careful.
Yeah,
that vacuum cleaner sucks.
It does. It
All right,
really
look,
fucking sucks.
I guess what I'm trying to say is, isn't the power of your vacuum kind of dependent on the quality of seal between the hose of the vacuum and the whatever the environment is you're trying to vacuumize?
You're talking about the vacuum cleaner?
Vacuumulate.
Vacuumulate. That's a brand new word. You just wordified that.
I wordified it.
Yep.
Thank you. I verbalized
it. You verbed it. You can wordify anything, you just verb it. I think it... Oh, nice. Chex Mix in your laptop makes it go faster. I think you can have some sort of dependence on the seal. You can get it down to a few PSI. Like, you can create a near vacuum using a hand pump in a bottle. We do it to show that you can boil water at 40 degrees.
How the hell does that work?
Well, it works based on vapor pressure. If you don't have a whole lot of vapor pressure above the liquid, it's much, much easier for the liquid to break free and form vapor, and that's what boiling basically is. So you reduce the pressure above the liquid, and you get it to boil at like 40 degrees Celsius. We boiled hot water because boiling is basically just the whole thing is turning to liquid. It's not 100 degrees. It's just, bubbling.
All right.
And it can happen because the vapor pressure above the liquid.
Now,
not
I saw
high.
A commercial for one of these food sealers.
Yes.
And it would, take a plastic bag and suck the air out of it.
I've watched that infomercial 4 times.
And it's always neat to watch the bag sort of form around that, steak.
Piece of steak, salmon.
Yeah, or they even would do it in the sections, that one.
Yes.
But the thing is, like, he showed, here's the power, or maybe it was a little tiny vacuum cleaner. So here's the power of my vacuum, and he takes it and he puts it on a bowling ball.
On a bowling ball.
Now, let me ask you a question. Like, if the seal is, like, perfect, wouldn't even just a little bit of suction create enough to hold the bowling ball?
I think what's going on there is not like it's sucking up and holding onto this ball. I think what it's doing is it's creating a low enough air pressure.
Is that the new theme music?
Could be.
Nice. Drew's got a fat ringtone. Come.
Drew's beeper be blowing up.
Yeah, dude.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Pimping ain't easy.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Anyway, you were saying.
I think it has to do with creating a really, really low air pressure on one side, and then the other, and the air basically just pushes the bowling ball up into the vacuum as it tries to, you know, rush in and equalize that pressure, which is what air does. Nature abhors vacuum cleaners.
So if it was a really strong vacuum, it would suck that bowling ball right in.
It would suck it into oblivion.
All right.
It could suck a golf ball.
But I mean, what I'm saying
is
you don't need a particularly strong vacuum to perform that feat, do you?
I would say the better the vacuum cleaner, the more power it has, the more.
Well,
the
faster
the
you reach that state.
The faster you reach the state. And again, you get down to like 2 or 3 PSI, and it's then it becomes really, really difficult to get any more out. To actually achieve a pure vacuum state is very difficult. Well, it's real easy to get down to like, you know, I think it's like, I don't even know the number. I should know, but I don't. I think it's like 32. Maybe it's 5. Who can say?
And why does the ball stick in there?
I think it's a difference in air pressure.
But why does that make the ball stick in there? Why does the air pressure force the ball, get up and force the ball out?
Well, because the vacuum's still running. Once you turn it off, it doesn't say stuck to it, does it? And if it does, then I don't know. I think it's glued
on. Does it
on.
Or doesn't?
I don't know. You're the one watching the.
Well, what I'm saying is if you shut it off and then the vacuum, like a lid slams down and air can't come in from behind where the vacuum was, and air can't get in because the seal is so good around the ball. See, now my experience was that I had an Atari 2600 when I was a kid. All right. And
my experience was the same, but I don't know where you're going with this.
And the joysticks had this rubber
cover
over the stick.
Okay.
And it would eventually come off if you used the joysticks.
And then
enough.
You make hickeys.
And then you make hickeys, except I didn't know it was going to make hickeys. So I pulled it off one day. It's like, oh, this thing came off. And it, like, I squeezed it and it stuck it to my hand. I'm like, oh, that's cool. So then I sat there and watched TV for like an hour and a half. And I just did it in the middle of my forehead, sticking it there and leaving it stick in there until it would finally, you know, come off. And then I'd pop it off, like, you know, and then. So I would squeeze it and put it on there, and I did this like all like for like an hour and a half, and then I go to dinner, and my mom's like, "Oh my God, what's wrong?" You know, I had a giant, like, perfect circle, purple circle in the middle of my forehead for about a week.
Nice.
Yeah, that wasn't good. I gave myself a hideous hickey.
That's pretty cool.
Check your old show notes. I think we talked about that before.
Oh my God, you know, it's a good story, so I wouldn't be surprised if I did.
That's okay.
All right, so So have we covered the slapdash thermal carafe?
More than enough. I only have one question
left
for Dr. J, which is that a lot of people wrote in and said, "You idiot, you can't reuse plastic."
I just started to go and do that and check out the addenda.
Up. You idiot, you can't reuse
plastic. Express
concerns
when reusing plastic bottles and heating them. Some people opine that plastic can release chemicals as it ages or when heated that are toxic or at least bad tasting.
Is that true?
I don't know. So far, the research that I've read, which is yours, is that it's somewhat inconclusive. It depends. Yeah.
Now, you know what I heard about that you can microwave styrofoam cups as long as there's no fats in what's in the cup. If it's just water, you can microwave it. But if it, like, you were doing like chicken soup or something, then it would like either wick like chemicals out of the cup or melt the cup.
Well,
okay.
We're only talking about 200 degrees here. It's not like. Really, really
well,
hot.
Well, the reason that
almost boiling. That's hotter. It's going to be way hotter than your chicken soup is. Chicken soup at 500 degrees is like molten lava. You don't even want to fuck around.
But the thing about it
stuff.
Is like water can only get so hot, pretty much, right?
Well, now again, I'll go back to the opposite of boiling water at 40 degrees is that you can have water at, you know, 250 degrees Celsius if you have enough pressure on top of it,
right.
Which is how a pressure cooker works in part. It's also how this bong we made once. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
Uh-huh. No.
You know you need you're supposed to use warm or hot water
in your bong.
In a bong.
Is that right?
Well, everyone's like, let's make a snow bong or ice bong or all that cold.
Do
water.
Do all stoners really sound like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
The thing about it is that you want to use hot or warm water because then it warms the air in the chamber of the bong, and when it hits your lungs. It expands your lungs, whereas cold air from the cold water contracts your lungs.
What a fool I've been.
Exactly. You need to think it over, buddy.
I do. I need to think. I need some thinkiness.
You need to think.
I better think about it.
You better think.
I better think.
Don't think too hard,
think
though.
About what I'm trying
especially
to do.
Especially when you're taking warm water bong hits. Mm-hmm. All right, so you were think. But the thing is, like the water in a microwave. Now, what's up with the water in the microwave getting superheated and it has nowhere to create bubbles?
Are you talking about the massive explosion that's happened like five times and people are like, "Watch out, your microwave will kill you."
Well,
all.
If you, well, I think if you do it in like a super like in a Pyrex or something that might have no defects whatsoever.
Something that doesn't have any place. What's it called? It's called a nucleation site.
Nucleation site.
If it doesn't have anything like that, then it can happen where you get like this superheated layer, and as soon as it's disturbed, a bunch of the water immediately like jumps right into the vapor state and bursts out. But that happens at the bottom, and that means that
all the water,
yeah, exactly, all the water above it blows up everywhere.
it's like taking a.
It's legit.
It's like a sand wedge.
It is exactly.
It's like hitting behind the ball.
It's like an open face club sandwich. That's correct.
Open face club sandwich.
Yeah. That definitely can happen. One of the things that they suggest is that you. After you pull it out, if you don't notice anything like that, that you very cautiously drop something like a metal spoon into your hot soup so that it's got some place to form those nucleation sites.
Wait, you drop the spoon in there and it won't go...
Apparently not. Apparently.
Now, I actually had this experience.
You had it blow... You had
well,
the blowback.
It was close. It was interesting, actually. Here's what happened.
It was near death.
I microwaved a cup of coffee... Out, I took it out of the carafe, but it's not a thermal. It wasn't a thermal carafe or a slapdash thermal carafe.
Oh, well, okay.
But I didn't realize that the coffee was still, you know, warm.
Fucking hot.
No, it wasn't fucking hot, but it was still warm.
Okay.
So I take the coffee out of
eight,
the carafe.
Eight minutes later in the microwave.
Well, no, I put it in the microwave for like 2 minutes, which I would normally do to get a really piping hot cup of coffee. Okay. So, but it was already warm. So this made it Oh, by the way, the Cavaliers are now down only by 15.
Yay! What a comeback.
Well, they were down over 20.
Yeah, well, I just hope that somewhere along the line, Detroit's like, we got this wrapped up, and they fall asleep for five games in a row, and we win.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I think what I would like to see in this game is the Cavs, you know, have a really competitive second half, and you know, have something to build on when they come home. But anyway, so I took it out, and the first thing I did was I set it down on the counter, and it didn't, you know, blow up in my face or anything. It got jostled a little. We do have these kind of smooth, you know, like ceramic mugs or whatever. But as soon as I put my Splenda in it, it boiled up and all over the place and all over the counter.
Wow.
Out of the mug.
Nucleation.
That's a lot of nucleation going on at once.
It is.
Whole lot of nucleation going on. I believe Jerry Lee Lewis said it best. In his
great
musical
of coffee.
His musical treatise
great
on
balls
great,
of a fire?
Great cups of
yes,
coffee.
Yes, indeed it was.
Goodness
great
gracious.
Balls of fire.
Great cup of coffee. Okay. So we move on?
I think that horse is dead.
Okay, that horse
kick it. Yep, it's dead.
Okay. Kick it one more time?
Yep. Good stuff, though, Drew. I'm impressed that... I don't know if impressed is the right word. I'm impressed you built it. I am impressed by the site and the care you put into it and your results and all that stuff.
And what grade would I get if I was in your class?
Well, I would give you some serious extra credit points because I didn't tell you to do it, nor would I ever think that anybody would take the time to do it. Most of the time, they just go out and they buy something and they put their own name on it. They're like, look what I made.
Well, now you have an experiment you can assign next year.
I can. You guys should go to thinkythings.org and check out thinkythings.org/carafe. And do that. Do that what that other guy did. It'll be great.
Should we move on to Tim Wurzel's unanswerable questions?
Oh, yes. Nice.
We actually do have Tim
Wurzel.
Are these
this week's or last week's? Because my
they're called what can we call them? The Twuck?
The Wurzel questions in the world.
The Twucko.
The Twucko.
Tim Wurzel unanswerable question of week.
Russ had an unanswerable question, too. I can't wait to talk about that.
Really?
Yeah, but let's talk about Tim first.
Yeah, because fuck Russ. He's in Atlantic City.
Right.
Lucky bastard.
And Russ Tim's is everywhere every week. Last week he was in
where? New Orleans.
New Orleans. This
and now Atlantic City. He doesn't have a job. He has a gambling problem. He likes hookers, parties, and gambling.
It's back to 22 point lead.
His job is to go to casinos.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Nice. Who does he really? Shut up. See, don't do
seriously.
That. Seriously. No. What does he do for him? He
sets up computers.
At casinos?
At casinos.
I thought he worked for... Is that the thing he's on for with Brulon now?
Yeah.
I thought he was doing healthcare stuff.
Casinos need health clinics.
Oh, my God.
That's what... It's health clinics and casinos?
That's who his contract is.
Are you serious?
I think so, yes.
That's so fucking awesome.
They have health clinics and casinos?
For the employees.
Awesome. I so need to be put on retainer for that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You be like his personal escort.
Exactly.
I need someone to carry shit. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
I need a patsy.
Here is the...
carry my stuff through the metal detector.
Here's the TWACWO.
A TWACWO. That's a terrible acronym. Worst acronym ever.
Tim's unanswerable question of the week. Tucow. Wait a minute. I think that's been used.
Okay.
At like tucows.com.
I did not know that. Two cows? Yeah,
T-U-C-O-W-S is a kind of like download.com. It's been around for a really long time. Collection of shareware, demos, freeware, etc.
And that's your wow of the week.
Well, that's not much of a wow. I mean, that's huge, you know, really popular website. Yeah. Okay. Dorks, I have a 4.4 gigabyte video on one of my hard drives that I want to move to my new 160 gig external hard drive that I just bought. Yeah. 4.4 gig video.
That's what the internet's for.
Oh, burn it onto the new DVD burner you bought last week.
That's right. The problem. I think he actually had to take that out. The problem is the drive. The drive that the file is on is NTFS, and the one he wants to move it to is FAT32. And he didn't really realize that it was FAT32 initially. So the problem is that I think FAT32 has a 2 gig file size limit. I think that's what the problem is. Now he's asking if he should use the Windows built-in capability to convert FAT32 to NTFS, which I believe you can. I think it's a command line thing you actually have to do, or you can use. No, I believe you can use the disk management tool in the systems management console, the MMC. But anyway,
no, you're talking about not. You're not talking about reformatting the disk. You're talking about some conversion
because it can convert one time. One time you can convert from FAT32 to NTFS through Windows, you know, in either 2000 or XP. You can do it one time, and you won't lose data. It does it. You have to reboot, and it does it in a special kind of DOS mode.
Interesting.
But you can do it one time, Tim. It's irreversible via Windows. However, if you went out and you purchased Partition Magic or any such program, you can convert from NTFS to FAT32 and back and forth and back and forth as many times as you want. But however, once you put like a 4.4 gigabyte file on a drive, converting it back to FAT32 will probably fail. So this is going to be you might as well just use the Windows tool. I think if you go to the disk manager in the... So go to My Computer, right-click on My Computer and select Manage. And then on the left-hand, in the left-hand tree, look for, I think, Disk Management. Find the partition that you want to convert, and I think when you right-click on it, it gives you an option to convert. Now, if that's not the case, then do a maybe what Dewey will do right now is look for the command line, because it's just a program run from the command line called convert. But I think you have a few switches you have to throw in order to get it to do exactly what you want. So it's easy to do. It works extremely well. I've never had any problems ever. And but it's a one-time thing. If you do it through Windows, it's one-shot deal. And now, of course, the NTFS has other advantages over FAT32, such as, you know, the file level security and real-time compression and other things like that. The problem with NTFS is if you're someone like me who does a lot of work with Ghost and stuff like that, you can't. It's very hard to work with NTFS drives in DOS. You have to use special programs like from Winternals and stuff like that. Or, you know, so I always keep a FAT32 partition somewhere around handy to upload Ghost files and things like that, you know, because it can't find NTFS. It can't write. It can write an NTFS partition to another drive if it's overwriting the entire drive, but it can't upload an NTFS partition to files stored on an NTFS drive. It can't. So you need a FAT32 somewhere. Anyway, the point is that this is not an unanswerable question. This is an extremely answerable question, finally.
Nice try, Tim.
I'd still like to make the suggestion that you bare metal it.
Can we call it
Tim's bare metal question of the week, maybe?
Tim's bare metal question of the week. It's not bad. You got a zokwo after you ushnu. What show is that?
Family Ties.
Family Ties, indeed. That's because Alex P. Keaton in a game of Scrabble, tried to make the word Ushnu.
Actually, I think his father
made Zoquo.
No, I think he made Ushnu first.
Yeah, he made Ushnu.
Dad did.
No. Alex P. Keaton made Ushnu because his strategy always was to hoard the U's. So he made Ushnu, which was like U S H U, like U U S H N U U was the word. And they're like, what the hell is Ushnu? He goes, you know, then they
towel off.
They're like, no. That was Ushnu. He said was like swimming or water sports or something like that. And then his father made the word Zoquo. Which is, you know, no kind of word at all. But he's like, well, what the hell is Zoquo? It means to towel off. It's like, oh, yeah, use it in a sentence. He goes, after you Ushnu, you got a Zoquo. Or maybe it's after you Zoquo, you got a Ushnu. You're right. You might be right. Ushnu might be to towel off.
Oh, my
and then when
God.
He said Zoquo, when he made Zoquo, whatever. The point is, it was a pretty funny line from a pretty funny show. But anyway, Tim.
And of course,
you can do it.
The other Scrabble on
oh,
TV
I've got it.
Was Homer
I've got
Simpson,
it.
Who made Bart made Quijibo.
Oh, yeah, Quijibo. Caution, Quijibo on the loose.
Yes. You guys would know that.
The bald, what is it? The bald North American ape. Why, you little? Oh, it's Quijibo you. Watch out, Quijibo on the loose. Okay, here we go. After some intense Scrabble matches, the dad was getting pissed at Alex for beating his brains out, so he put down Zoquo, Z-O-Q-U-O, like on a triple word score or something to try and catch Alex. And Alex challenged him. He said, it's Greek, from the Greek, meaning water sports. Later in the episode, Dad gets pissed because Alex is hoarding all the U's, preventing him from laying down his Q's. So he confronts Alex, who says, I'm planning on using them in a word. When he lays down Ushnu, U-U-S-H-N-U-U. When challenged by his dad, he says, it's from the Greek, meaning to towel off. So then he asks Alex to use it in a sentence, to which Alex replies, after I Zoquo, I like to Ushnu.
That's right. It was Zoquo and then Ushnu. Yeah. And I should have known. So
that's pretty
we were
funny.
Both.
That's pretty funny.
Right. Can we all win? Okay. So I think, but that settles that for Tim's unanswerable question of the week, which was we actually had an answer. You can convert FAT32 to NTFS one time through Windows. You won't lose any data. It works.
Just like us being able to one time answer Tim's question.
One time.
One time.
And we can't go back.
Tommy, one time. Because he said things.
Can we just kick it one time? Can we one time kick it? That's Tenacious D.
That's nice.
And he goes, can we one time kick it?
Yeah.
That was hilarious. I think my favorite Tenacious D moment of all is when they're rehearsing their new song. They have to come up with a new song for their next appearance, and they're rehearsing their new song called Rocket Sauce, and they start singing it, and they're singing it, and then they hear the ice cream truck drive by, and the ice cream truck is ding ding dinging the exact same melody, and they have to stop, and because it's the ice cream song, and it's pretty funny. But I won't say anything else because I can't do it justice. Just Jack Black singing the song Rocket Sauce to that little thing, and he's like talks about all of my fucking rocket sauce. it's hilarious.
It's extra disturbing.
If you ever get a chance to see The Search for Inspirado by Tenacious D, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. But anyway,
absolutely.
Tim also was kind enough to mention that Dell has bought Alienware, and I think we did talk about that, did we not? Maybe a few shows ago.
Really?
I believe we mentioned it, and and that's interesting that he brings it up today, because Dell reported bad earnings today, and their stock got pummeled.
Nice.
About 5 or 6%. It's, you know, but there are a few people out there who still say, you know, they're pretty much still the bellwether company, and it's a good buy because now it's undervalued. So maybe Dell is a good buy. Maybe you heard it here first.
I've got
third.
A story about Dell.
All right, hit me.
Somebody at work just bought a Dell.
Uh-oh.
Hey, and had dude. It delivered to work.
Yo.
And
it got stolen.
No. Oh. Possibly worse than that, about the bottom 8 inches of the box was soaking wet.
Oh
wow.
God.
It had clearly been sitting in a puddle of water.
Oh my God.
So,
but usually it's in a plastic bag in the boxes, I believe. If it's a laptop.
I'm not sure how. No, it was a
Oh, it was a desktop?
It was a desktop.
Not in a plastic bag. Well, maybe in a plastic bag.
I don't know how it's packaged.
Okay.
But it worked.
Should be. I got
it. It worked.
Should be.
And but she sent an email and said, "Hey, is this going to be some kind of a problem that my computer was dripping wet when I unpacked it?" And they said, "Don't turn it on. We've already shipped you a new one. You just have to provide a box and ship back the old one." So it was good customer service from
Dell. That's
outstanding. Mad props to Dell.
You know, the thought always was about Dell was that their customer service was always excellent. And I will say that when if you are a business customer and you have a server with them, they are they usually will bust their hineys to get you back up and running. I will say that about them.
I had some minor issues that I probably could have gone to one of you two yahoos about, but I decided I would make use of my customer service contract when I first got my computer to ask about what type of RAM to put in.
No problem. Because
it just wasn't quite described well enough. And I was put on the phone with a gentleman who was obviously in India. And when it was quite clear that our language barrier was not going to get my question answered, he transferred me back to someone in the United States who was probably in Seattle having a cup of coffee on a Saturday morning, just waiting around to be like the answer guy. And he was very, very helpful. And, took care of everything for me.
Good.
Yeah, very good peoples. I like them. I like me some Dells.
Good, good.
End of song.
End of song. That's forward into the past, I believe.
What? I can't do the high pitch anymore.
What? You can't do the high pitch anymore?
What?
A little bit. What? Is it a hit? Or a miss? Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
If you've ever had a chance to listen to the Fire Sign Theater, do it.
Oh, yeah.
If you ever do get that chance, do give it a listen. I have some flair.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Flare it up, G.
Yeah, well, if you guys recall, we have, you may not recall, you may not know this young man, but Drew knows him quite well. His name is Jason Trump, and Jason Trump is an old cohort of ours from Noteworthy, and he is going to be moving on to greener pastures to the great Northwest.
To Seattle, in fact.
Nice.
To Seattle.
Coffee and
listen,
answer people's questions
calls on Saturday morning.
Nice.
And doggedly listen to Pearl Jam, no matter how bad their albums are. And no matter how bad Eddie Vedder's singing voice is, that dude cannot sing.
Oh, well,
okay?
you'll have your chance to tell him he's
going to
hear
the 20th. By the way, is that a 16-point lead or an 8-point lead?
Look at us cut into that motherfucker.
52-68.
If we blow one more freaking layup, I
oh, my God, and it's Anderson Varejao scrambling for a rebound.
Well,
like,
no, but we just missed, like, four putbacks,
that,
for Christ's sake.
All him.
All right, anyway, I have Jason was trying to divest himself of several pieces of,
of
computer equipment.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And so I bought – now, you guys can find out if I'm a decent negotiator, but he had put prices on all these things, and he had wanted – he had three compact Celeron 500 desktop machines with 64 megs of RAM and a 6 gig hard drive, but they work, and they have NICs and USB also, but they work. All three of them work, and he had an 8-port 10/100 switch, and he had a 4-port KVM with hotkey support. And all the cables for all four ports.
How much would you pay for this
Don't
pile
tell me
of
you
crap?
Took it all.
And also an old 802.11b access point and switch from Linksys that is so old it doesn't even have a web-based management interface.
But if you act now, we're also going to send you one of these handy-dandy dry mops.
There was a lot of other stuff too, but I took all six of those items. Now, he had those marked for a total. It would have cost me, had I paid his prices, somewhere in the order of $150 to $175.
$175.99.
$150, maybe something like that, $160. I offered him $75 for the lot, and he took it.
Congratulations.
I think
you made
a steal.
So that means that, I mean, the 8-port switch is worth $20 retail. I mean, an 8-port switch is about $20.
Okay.
That's true.
Right?
If you buy it new.
Yeah.
But
well,
it's not new. It's
these
used.
These things don't, like... barely
appreciate.
Well, but you know, things like that, they hardly ever
think
wear
about,
out
think,
or anything
think
like
about
that.
The
so
wear
to me
and tear.
It's like the depreciation is minimal. It's
how many
a functioning
parts?
8 points. Not a lot.
No.
Not a lot.
Virtually none.
So I don't, you know, so maybe it has like a $15 to $20 value.
Well, his prices were really high. If you read to the bottom of that list, he had a fucking QCAT for $5,000.
Well, okay, the QCAT for $5,000 I think was what we call humor.
Oh, yeah, because I checked eBay and they're about $8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that.
Oh, that was a joke?
That was a joke.
I got to cancel that check.
Stop payment on the check.
Yes.
Well, anyway, so that means, you know, if you take like 15 for the Switch, and I think the KVM with all the cables is worth at least $25. With all four sets of cables, and it's not like a manual Switch one. It has hotkeys, so that's worth at least $25, if not more. I think I did pretty well, all told.
You got a good deal. I hope he's not listening.
Yeah.
That's okay if he listens. I think he was just happy to be rid of the stuff, and he dropped it all off.
Wow.
So that was also good. But here's the thing. So I went to put Windows XP on one of the compact Pentium 500s. I put some more memory in there, so that it'll run on 64 megs of RAM, but not very well. I bumped it up to about 100. Bumped it up to 256 actually, and I put a 10 gig hard drive in there, and it would run fine. Believe me, good enough to do some very simple tasks, which is one of my clients.
Good enough to podcast from the dining room.
Well, that's an interesting. That's a very interesting thought, actually. Probably not.
Just throwing it out there. How about the Switch?
Well, the Switch is over there, and it's in use. I think when we do it from the dining room, I'm going to have to use a laptop. I might have to use my wife's new laptop.
Nice.
She got a new laptop, too. I should probably mention that.
That's awesome.
Congratulations.
Thanks. So anyway, let's see now. So I went to go install Windows XP, and it was the weirdest thing. I kept getting these disk unreadable errors during the install. I can't read that file from the CD. I'm like, what? And it would be like, half an hour into the process, and all of a sudden it'd be like, can't read this file. I'm like, that's crazy. So then I burned a fresh CD, and it stopped at a different file. I was like, I can't read this file. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so I was just going crazy. So I take the original CD that was supposed to be scratched. I try it in a different machine. It goes, I can't read that file. Oh, no, it says it went through fine. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Why can't this thing? So then I took the CD-ROM out, and I put a new one in. I'm like, I can't read this file. Some other file. I'm like, hey, this is insane. And I'm just tearing my hair out for no reason at all for like 5 or 6 hours.
I thought he got a haircut.
Yeah,
well,
me too.
Well, it was easy to. I did get a haircut when it was long. It was easy to tear out for like 5 or 6 hours. I'm struggling with this thing. I can't figure out why the fuck it cannot read a stinking file on this thing. And then it occurred to me that maybe something else could be wrong, and it's not the CD-ROM, and it's not the fucking. So the memory I put in there was bad.
Nice.
And it would fill up the fucking memory with the files it was reading off the CD, and finally it would finally hit this one particular little page on the memory, and it would crap out, and it would never, no matter what you did, you couldn't get it to try to store it somewhere else in memory. It would keep trying to hit the same,
When you boot up a computer, doesn't it check the memory and mark bad blocks or something like that?
It should, but
well,
it doesn't.
It was funny because it would pass certain kinds of memory tests. I ran MemTest 86 Plus, and it would pass certain kinds of tests, and it would fail others. I'm like, well, it's obviously bad memory. So then I took one of the pieces out,
bad
and
dates.
I put the old one in that Jason gave me. It came with the machine, and it ran just fine, and it installed just fine, and everything went fine. So it's only running on 192 instead of 256. Hmm. But at least it's fucking running.
Yes.
That was a fucking ordeal. Now, as far as my wife's... As far as my wife's
piece of flair,
watch yourself.
What?
I'm just kidding. My wife got a new laptop. It's a Gateway.
A Gateway.
Yeah, we bought
it
at Best.
That's one of the cows, right?
We bought it at Best Buy, actually.
Wow. How'd that work out for you?
Well, it's actually it's a pretty sweet little laptop. It's
30% markup.
It's got the 14-inch widescreen, the bright screen, like. WXGA or whatever, like 1280 by 768 or something like that. It's really nice and bright. It came with like 60 gig hard drive and 512 RAM and obviously Windows XP and all that kind of stuff. And it was
burner, CD burner, DVD burner.
DVD burner.
Okay.
DVD RW.
How much would you expect?
$629 is what we got it.
That's very reasonable.
And that was there were no they don't do rebates anymore, at Best Buy. So it was like after instant savings or whatever. So $629. I'm like, fuck.
It's not bad.
We'll just go ahead and buy. I actually was trying to push her towards the one that was There was one that was $7.99, and it had a gig of RAM, but it was a little bit bigger, and we were just like, out of hell with it. She's not doing anything that's, you know, gonna be all that intense on it anyway. So I think it'll be powerful enough to record the show and stream it, and then we can do it. We can pretty much, you know, do it from wherever.
Definitely with a gig of RAM, you could have done that.
Yeah, definitely with a gig of RAM.
God.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Now we're going to have to go buy a show computer.
Oh,
I know we can get a 500 Pentium Celeron something.
No. Yeah. You don't want that.
On the cheap. No, I don't want that.
Actually,
although, you know what? I got a question for you.
Please.
Could I use that to build my own arcade machine to put MAME on and have like an absolute assload of machines and have that be the only thing that it does?
You're going to want to go to MAME's. I want to go to the MAME site and look at the system requirements because some of the newer games might need a lot more capability.
I
definitely don't think you could run the thing that I think it was Tim or no, it was Raymond was turning us on to.
Talking about Daphne?
Daphne, yeah.
Well, that's
the Dragon's Lair.
That's
one.
Only the only thing you need that for is because all those games are on Laserdisc and you need something that's got the Laserdisc stuff instead of the
right.
The other deal. No, that's all I've been doing the past months. Playing old video games that I used to love. I found the game that I used to pump tons of money into when I was in seventh grade called Matt Mania.
Matt one of the, Mania? Is
one
that
of
a
wrestling
game? Wrestling
game, one of the first wrestling games. I also found a cool, well, actually two cool D&D kind of scrolling screen action games.
Shadow of Mystara?
Shadow of Mystara and Tower of Doom. Shadow of Mystara's was clearly the better
what
one.
What was the one, that, Golden Axe? Remember Golden Axe?
Yeah, and Golden. You know what? I downloaded Gauntlet.
Shinobi.
To get working. And I've seen Shinobi, but I was all right. I've been playing Time Pilot, 1943. What else? NBA Jam. I beat NBA Jam. Time Killers. You remember Time Killers where you could cut people's arms? You had weapons. You could cut people's arms and heads off. It was a fighting game. Pretty lame.
If I had a
fun.
Decent joystick, I would basically play nothing.
I would
but,
stick it to my head.
I would stick it to my head. And then I would play a lot of Gyrus.
And Gyrus is another one that I have.
I love Gyrus. But it's too hard to go around the circle.
You get the hang of it. I've gotten used to using the keyboard.
So I have the system requirements here from AIM.
Yeah. Go ahead.
You want to hear them?
Yeah, badly.
Intel Celeron AMD Duron 1000 megahertz.
Okay.
So that's what
half,
was
it's half as good as it's a five. He said it's a 500.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to do it for
I
you.
Don't, maybe I could buy two of them.
128.
You might
to
be able to run Vice though.
Megabytes of RAM.
Okay.
Is that to run Vice?
Is that to run MAME 32?
I don't know.
Oh, you got nothing.
It might be able to run some games. You want to try it out?
No,
we could put Linux on there and a really small Linux install maybe and then run MAME. Couldn't you
how
do
about
that?
Damn Small Linux, or there's a distribution called Damn Small Linux.
Oh, okay.
Would that be good? Or maybe you could do
it'd
the
be really small
the business card ISO of Debian.
That's not that important. That's okay. I've lost all interest in it suddenly.
When I got MAME, I got really tired of all the games I thought I'd never get tired of, like Ivan Stewart's Off-Road. And
oh, I hate that game's like watching paint dry.
Well, not when you play it.
Oh, okay.
When you play it, it's like watching someone watch paint dry.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I stand corrected. There was a couple that I got. I was like, oh, I can't wait. I haven't played this game in so long. And I played it a couple times. I'm like, oh, yeah, now I remember why I haven't played this game in so long. Like Mappy. I used to love Mappy. Hard. Mappy. Mappy's
you used to love Mappy hard?
Fun game. It is hard. It is challenging. I love it long time. And then I realized that I was pretty able to get the hang of it now, and I was like, oh, I'm just shutting this off.
How do you feel about Mr. Do?
I have not even got it, nor did I get Mr. Do's Adventure, nor Mr. Do's Wild Ride, or any of the Mr. Do saga.
Mr. Do's Wild Ride?
Yeah, motherfucker.
Or is that Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
It is. And if you're in Disney World, it's Mr. Toad's, but if you're not, Mr. Do's Wild Ride, I believe, is the name. I'll check it. I'll look in the MAME Nation.
I bet the Celeron would be enough to run Vice.
What's a Vice?
Vice is a Commodore emulator.
Oh, God.
And the Commodore games are excellent.
Says you.
Did you have Mule for Commodore?
Absolutely.
Mule.
Mule is a great game.
Yeah.
Mule's one of the best games. I can still play Mule to this day and really, really enjoy it. It's an awesome game. It is a fantastic game.
Do you want to tell the people about it besides just how great it is?
Well, I mean, it's one of these little kind of turn-based, kind of a strategery kind of a game. It's extremely simple. You land, it's an Electronic Arts game. You land on the planet Irata.
Irata.
Yeah, I-R-A-T-A, which is Atari spelled backwards.
I see that it is.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Anyway, you land on the planet Irata. In the center of the planet, and by center I mean like the surface, the landmass, you know, there is a kind of a general store kind of a place where you buy supplies and go to the pub and do various things like that. And there's a river running down the middle of it. A river runs through it.
I was
going to
say
will.
That. Thank you very much.
There are mountains all over the place.
First of all, real quickly, there's Mr. Do versus unicorns. Mr. Do. Mr. Do's Castle, and Mr. Do's Wild Ride, motherfucker.
Well, I don't think the name of that game is appropriate for children.
Moving
on. Do you know what Mule stands for? You remember it had periods.
It's like multi-use... I don't... What is it?
Multiple-use labor element.
Right. Basically, what you did was... you had to buy these mules... What the hell was that?
Fucking smileys with sound. Oh, God, who doesn't want one?
Okay.
It's just a banner ad.
Basically, you have to buy a mule, and you have to outfit it for a particular purpose. Now, you can either farm to make food, or you can sort of farm food, or you can farm energy. Okay? And you need energy to produce stuff. You can mine for smith ore, or you can mine for christite. Now, the way it works is, here's the thing. But the fun part really isn't, that's not really the fun part as so much as...
It sounds riveting.
No, it's really fun because you battle over plots. You know, the thing like moves across this grid and you have to like beat other people to the punch to get the plot that you want. You play for 12 rounds and each round something crazy will happen and either fuck someone over or pump them up, or fuck everyone, or do something. Here's the thing, though. In your turn, you actually have to move your little guy and get the mule and outfit it over here and walk it over to the plot and get it on the thing. And you know, you kind of have to like do all this, and you have a little timer that's running down. If you don't make enough food, you won't have as much time to do your turn. You might not even have enough time to buy a mule and do anything, and then you'll be screwed for the next turn. Like you can get into a hole you can't get out of, and if you don't make enough energy, you won't produce anything on the plots that you do have mules on. And if you don't make any smith ore, in fact, if this is what's funny about smith ore is that if the whole colony doesn't make any smith ore, and usually it doesn't because it's not worth very much, because everyone's always mining christite, which is like mining diamonds or something, and like the price will go way up or whatever, but. Smith ore is usually like very stable kind of a price, like mining iron or iron ore. If you don't make enough smith ore as a colony and sell enough to the store, the price of mules will skyrocket, and there'll only be like one or two mules available for an entire turn for everybody because there's enough smith ore to make, you know, mules or whatever. It get really crazy. And then the thing is after you do the thing and everybody produces for that turn, then you have to do auctions. You have auctions for food and for energy. You can sell to other players. You can set the price. And the whole way you do it is one person has to run up this screen and you can come down. And when your lines kind of meet, you can sell them units of this and that. Or you can just sell to the store, or you can buy from the store. And it's really a really great game. If you ever wanted to play, James, I would be more than happy to play. It's really, really fun.
Remember it a lot better than I do.
Up to four people can play. Yeah. And the funny thing is that somebody's going to win the game, but if the colony as a whole does bad, then that person who wins the game will merely win. But if the whole colony does well, the winner will actually become like a founding father and, you know, get a greater award. So it's kind of a thing where if you really fuck all the other players bad enough, you won't actually get the big win. You'll just merely win. And it's an interesting game, and it's fun. I'm telling you, it's fun. A number of fist fights and various things broke out because we would refuse to sell this kid, Kevin Shraven. We would refuse to sell Kevin Shraven, you know, food or energy, and he would get so angry he would, like, throw the joystick across the room, and I would get mad because that's my joystick, and I'd punch him, and we'd get into a, you know, kind of a
And you need that joystick fight. For your hickeys.
That's right.
Well, not the joystick, just the cover. Right. Well, after a while, the covers were lost, and it was just, you're just playing with raw stick.
Okay.
Yes. So it's cool that you could make such a engaging game back in the 80s without all the
That's just one of many
super graphics.
That's just one of many incredible Commodore DVDs. 64 games. I mean, games like Archon. Okay, Electronic Archon. Arts back then. I mean, EA Sports, you know?
Yeah.
They make great games today, but they were the kings of the Commodore, too. They made games like Archon and Mule. Those games were unbelievably good. They also made some other games. I'll have to think about it for a little while, but they made some other fantastic games. There were games...
Blades of Steel is another one of the games I've been playing.
There was a game called Jumpman by Epix. Epix made some decent games. You know, there was a game I really liked called Below the Root. That was kind of a adventure kind of a thing, based on a novel. It was really kind of a good hard game to play. Age of Adventure. And there were a lot of good ports. Oh, Broderbund made a Karateka or Karateka.
Oh, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for bringing it back to my mind. I was addicted to that game. Oh, my God.
Karateka or Karateka was an excellent.
Yeah.
It ran very well on the Commodore. It looked very good. It was excellent. It was a great, great game. Terrific game.
I had it for Apple II.
Sure, sure. There were a couple of really good games. There's a game on the Apple II Plus or Apple II or whatever. It's the simplest game. It's one of my favorites, called Laser Maze.
Laser Maze.
LazerMaze. And you can find it. If you look hard enough and you get that emulator, you can find it. And it's a friggin' great, great game. I love it. And all it is a grid. All they do is they make this grid, okay? It's 10 by 10 by 10 by 10. You know, it's a, you know... Well, it's just a square, but there's 10 points on each side of the square. And at the nodes that would be made, if you created the grid, they put a slash, either a slash or a backslash. And it tells you, and it says, okay, the laser's going to start at this point. Where is it going to end? Because it'll hit the little slashes inside the grid and go bing, 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 bing. You know, you have to, so before you say what the other number is, you got to do it with your eyes and, you know, kind of just... You know, do the whole thing. And they can have up to like 10, 11, 12, 13 connections, and it's intense because you hear the noises like, you know, and the faster you do them, the more points you get. So that was a good game, too. That was an awesome game. Whew. I used to like a minor 2049er.
That's another very good game.
But that's actually not a very good game at all.
I love that. It's fantastic.
Hey, you know what? I installed IE7. Beta 2 on my main machine here at home, which may have been a mistake. Well, Cavs are down by 14 with a foul shot.
Hey, good press.
It's good. I mean, it's got the tabbed browsing a la. I mean, it's so much like, you know, Firefox. You know, it's got the tab browsing, but, you know, I don't like it. Wow. I don't know why I don't like it, but it just seems a little slow. They moved some buttons around. They moved the refresh button up into the upper right-hand corner. Like, they don't have the same like button bar that they used to. They moved some stuff down. They moved some stuff up. I know I sound like a grumpy old man talking about, you know, I just didn't.
Back in my day,
well, yeah, I know, but
F5.
I guess what,
that's the way it was, and we liked it.
I think what a lot of people who don't like change. They object to change for the sake of change, not change that was required. I mean, I think we can all appreciate change that was necessary, but change just for the sake of change can really rankle some people. And I'm definitely not really enjoying all the button placement and everything. It's okay, though. I mean, it does the job. But, you know, there are certain things that Firefox doesn't do that I wish it did, and there are certain things that IE7 does that I wish it did that... You know, whatever.
Huh.
Whatever.
So that's your review.
Well, it's still in beta, so I mean, we'll see. But then that leads, of course, to a discussion of Vista, which I wish Matt was here because I was actually going to suggest that people not buy Vista.
Well, then definitely do it since Matt's
here.
Well,
of course, every time you buy a new computer in middle of 2007, it's going to have Vista on it. So you know, there's nothing you can do.
Buy your computer now.
Well, and the computers now are coming, quote, Vista ready. Like Dory's new laptop is Vista ready, according to which I guess it means
ready to get more RAM in it.
Oh,
yeah, that's
man.
What I was gonna say.
I mean, I've heard some amazing things about Vista. You know, the Aeroglass UI thing, and the way it has like
Qua.
Well, it's like it kind of does like this sort of like semi-transparent kind of stuff, and see-through. You know, it's kind of like transparent stuff and little programs and little things all over it and convenient little knickknacks and stuff. And just go look around for, screenshots of the Aeroglass or of Vista. And you can see it. It's gonna be very similar to OS X, actually. I think it's what it kind of, in a lot of ways, looks, reminds me of that a little bit. But we'll see.
I don't think Microsoft would ever copy Apple.
Seriously.
Well, if you saw the movie about that where...
Pirates of Silicon Valley?
Is that what it was called? And Anthony Michael Hall played Bill Gates. Noah Wiley was Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that Xerox, those dummies at Park, gave Steve Jobs a demo of their windowed environment that they were using on the Altos, and they didn't make him sign a non-disclosure or anything like that. They just showed it to him, and he's like, okay. And he walked out, and he turned to his partners. He said, the future is now. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take that idea and we're going to do it. And that's when you first the Lisa, then the Macintosh.
Yeah, I don't think Xerox was doing anything with it, though. I think they bought into that whole IBM mentality of there's a market for about six computers worldwide.
Actually, their market
wrong.
Was for...
Yes, that was wrong.
That was wrong.
Their market, they didn't think
there's
anybody...
There's six computers in this room.
they didn't think anybody would buy a computer for their home.
Yeah.
And they didn't think anybody would buy a computer for their secretary. But they did believe that, managers and people like that would want computers, and they would be willing to pay $12,000 in 1979 or 77 or whatever for one. Now, having said all that, the Alto was totally amazing, as we've discussed many times on the show. And if you want to read the book Dealers of Lightning, you can. It's all about that. The Alto in like 1972 or 4 had... it was Ethernet, laser printers, Windows. What you see is what you get: text editing, email, a mouse,
email.
Bitmap display, everything you see. And it was about the size of a large computer box, maybe two of them stacked on top of each other. So, it was big, but it could potentially sit next to a desk in a large office.
Way ahead of its time.
It was ridiculous. And it was written, I think it was Alan Kay, is I think the guy's name, who wrote all the microcode or whatever they called it. The name of his, was it SimpleTalk? Is that the name of his language?
SmallTalk?
SmallTalk. I think it was SmallTalk or whatever. It was incredibly sophisticated. Unfortunately, thanks to Xerox, we ended up getting saddled with MS-DOS and the IBM PC, which was a really lousy computer.
I don't know. C colon. Pound colon.
Great what joke. Was it? Backslash escape? I think that's how you launch the O.J. Simpson program. Don't play poker.
I'm just looking.
During the show,
I'm
James.
Not anymore.
You can't use our bandwidth for that.
I'm just looking.
No, don't play poker.
Is
during,
it up?
Is it minimized?
Is it up?
You probably told it to hide the toolbar and go to the system tray when you minimize.
I bet you could do something with the firewall and...
Do you really
shut down all the?
Do you think
power.
That I have those capabilities?
Not you.
Not
yeah.
you. Me.
No, I'm saying to tell it to go to the system tray. I think not.
I don't want to underestimate Dr. J, the science guy.
I would. I would. I would grossly underestimate.
What's new in physics, Dr. J?
Oh, stop it!
I don't even know.
No more physics for.
I don't even pay attention anymore.
Did you guys?
I had a kid.
You know that if you put in the what do you call the thing, the domain? The thing between the www and the com.
Yeah.
The domain. So if you type like CNN and then you go control enter, it'll fill in the http://www. And then it'll put the .com at the end.
But the alt enter tries to save the page.
Alt enter? You know what I found out? That shift enter makes it go .net and control shift enter does like .org.
That must save you hours of time.
No, I mean,
seconds of
I'm
work.
Serious. To put, dude.
I just, that's how I got CNN.
Okay, but now do CNN.
I'm thinking of
and do shift enter. Do CNN and do shift enter. Okay.
But that's too much to type in.
Shift enter.
Shift enter.
No, I must have missed it.
It doesn't like
okay,
that
do
all.
It in Firefox. It must be only Firefox then.
Well, okay. I don't have Firefox on this one.
Oh, well, okay.
Because it's not mine.
Anyway, try it on Firefox. I think shift enter does .net, and I think control shift enter does .org or vice versa. I thought that was I found that out totally by accident. Thank you. And it leads back to 17. Tim also says that the Pistons are going to win, as he's from the D and a little bit biased, but of course he's also
squid on the floor.
He's also correct.
Squid on the floor.
He's also correct, but the Cavs at least are hanging tough. They're still they're only
I think
down
LeBron
14.
James has a hat trick tonight.
They're only down 14. I mean, if somehow, some way, the Pistons could go cold, anything could happen. You know, basketball is funny like that.
Ben Wallace has been felled by a congenital heart defect moments before taking
the
court for the second
half.
I don't wish
death
it.
On any
saying,
of the Pistons
I'm just
players.
Saying that's what it might take.
Like, I don't wish death. Dude. I mean, okay, if their plane crashed on the way to Cleveland. No, I'm not going to say that.
No, and
but,
even then, their bench is tough.
Yeah, you know, I read somewhere that Google is going to be putting together a sort of a medical like search engine to maybe start to rival the WebMD kind of thing.
They're going to put a science one together called Goggle? No?
Goggle?
I don't know.
I think they should have a nice Boston search engine called, like, Gaggle.
Gaggle? Google.
Search the web.
Search the web, you bastard.
The web is it's the most wicked ass search engine. I went to Gaggle.
That's too bad.
I'm out of topics. I'm out of topic. We're out of time? Did we do an hour?
No, we're over an hour. And thus
Are
another
you sure?
anticlimactic.
I don't really know if we're
Dialedor.
Over an hour. I think maybe just barely. Maybe just barely over an hour.
We can make Google our YWOW of the week. Have you folks heard about this Google thing?
That's
amazing.
Pretty awesome.
Amazing.
yeah. So, okay. Well, we can just wrap it up because I pretty much am wiped out anyway. So I
That's cool.
I think I might have one more beer and just for the heck of it, watch the rest of this basketball game, which is a 11-point game, and the Cavs have the ball.
Great.
And and it's a brilliant pass by LeBron down the lane to Anderson. The lead is down to 9. The lead is down to 9.
The lead, folks, in case you missed it, is 9.
Anything could happen. If them Pistons fall in love with that 3-point shot because they hit so many in game 1, maybe, just maybe, we could sneak out of here with a win. Maybe, just maybe.
Maybe just
or
the Pistons will come out of this timeout and be like, we crush now. Yeah. And just like,
I think
methodical crush now.
We should take them apart.
All right, whatever. Anyway, let's stop the show. Let's go watch the rest of the game. What do you say?
Word. Sounds like a plan.
All right, thanks very much for listening. Mail us anytime, dorks@dialadork.com. It's hyphenated, dial-a-dork.com. Put us, go to dialadork.com with a /, and a blog on the end of it to see the topics list that Dewey has so faithfully.
Do dialadork shipping.
dial-a-dork.com.
No, dial-a-dork.
Control enter.
Control enter.
Control enter. Sorry. That works in IE or Firefox. However, the shift enter and control shift enter, that's for Firefox.
Can you imagine how many keystrokes you'd save? The answer is 4.
Millions in the end.
Frankly, I don't know.
You know about bookmarks, right?
Bookmarks helpful.
What are these
helpful. They're good. They're good. I like it. Okay, that's it. We'll end the show. Thank you very much for listening. Download the show again and listen to it again if you missed anything. Email us with any of your questions, comments, concerns. Go to the website and order a t-shirt or other bling from Cafe Press.
You could order. By the way, I want to say thank you, Irv, for the cool Dial-a-Dork baby gear.
Dial-a-Dork sleeper and bib.
Yes, very key. I myself enjoy the bib. It's good for drooling on myself.
Outstanding. You should definitely, you know, break it in a little.
We're going to when she's. It's a slightly bigger size thing than she's capable of yet. When she's
grow into it.
Exactly.
All right. Very good. Very good. Well. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We are out of here.
You get all those pimps together. It was live.